I invite you to enter meditation truly in a physical sense by operating an idea with your body. You can simply follow along with me, and then we'll take it deeper inside. You all know the words already. It's divine love. You can join with me with your hands, and we'll do this together. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I give, and all that I receive. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I give, and all that I receive. One more time silently. As you close your eyes, allow this same motion of the mind to continue planting the seed within, behind the closed eyes, as that idea permeates and sinks deeper and deeper into the mind, that this divine love as me, it blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I give, and all that I receive. Allow this to saturate you, and the rhythms to carry it deeper and deeper into consciousness. Divine love. As me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I give, and all that I receive.
Feeling this energy in every cell of our body, we know that we embrace life today. We embrace that divine masculine parts of ourselves, that creative energy provided by Source, the source of all that is, the spirit that runs through us as us, allows us to step forward in the truth and the nature of the Christ. And with one more deep breath, say, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen. Thank you, Eric and Ryan. Good morning. As Brother Henry told me back in the green room, it's getting a little bit closer and in date and in temperature to summer. And you would especially appreciate where I was this past week in San Antonio, because in San Antonio, what I learned from every Uber driver I had And it's like reverse of taxi cab sort of confessions where you start telling your life to the taxi cab. I don't know if you've done Uber, but every Uber driver I had wanted to tell me their story and some interesting things. And then toward the end, they'd be like, what do you do? I'm a minister. Oh, okay. I know, that's okay. You can let go of that. But usually somewhere in the middle of that, they would tell me or ask me, they would say, did you go to Metallica? Every one of them asked me, did you go to, because Metallica was in town, that was a big deal. And they wanted to know if I was like, is it the way I look? Heavy metal, speed metal, I don't know. But I did have a great time in San Antonio this past week at the Unity's conference, the international conference where people and ministers and leaders came from all over the world to be there. I actually have a show and tell hat I may show next week from my friends in Nigeria. They made me a hat like none other, so that may be worth the price of admission next week to show that. It's a little small, so I'm not going to wear it. But everybody was there in love and ready to actually put the missing pieces together that perhaps has been happening in the unity movement. We said it's time for unity to be unity again. And not that it ever left, but how can we put the beliefs, our belief systems as a movement at the altar and move forward in this age that we are in? I spent quite a bit of time there talking to David Drum about it, who went, and then late in the week, Lynn Dowler, Lee Files came. We tried to divide and conquer and go to as many workshops as we could because the ones I found myself in had a lot to do with technology. Technology is changing. And I wasn't sure maybe I was the right one to be there in that after my technology issues I told you about last week. A lady stood up and said, I never thought I would get people in my congregation to use technology for ministry, but my 88-year-old mother uses YouPray every day, which is an app. And Unity Worldwide is creating an app. We thought we were going to have to create it, but they're going to create it for us. And it's a beautiful place, San Antonio. This is a building, a picture I shot down in the Pearl District. And there's an expression about water under the bridge. You can't escape the water under the bridge there. The river winds around everywhere, and you think, didn't I just see this river? But you walk a few blocks, and it's over there as well. But speaking of water under the bridge, today is Father's Day, and you would probably think we're going to talk about all the perfect things about fathers, but maybe there's something hanging on for you today that you would like to let go of. A certain memory, a certain thing that was not the way you wish it could have been with your father. But before we get into that, and before I bring up a dad that's on stage here with me today, how many of you are fathers? Raise your hand, just really high and proud. Give them a hand, yes. Thank you. Awesome. That's the most I'll embarrass you all day, but I definitely wanted to recognize you because I see a father holding a baby back there, and I see certain fathers brought their daughters that I maybe or sons I haven't seen before, so we're very thankful that you are here today. At the conference, they talked to something about what we've been talking about this month, which is the missing piece. And if we can find the missing piece and become more aware of what that is, then we can be more in flow and get more into the flow of life. So I think that they have been watching us. I don't want to confirm that, but I think they've been watching us at Unity Worldwide because they use the puzzle pieces to talk about how they're integrating themselves back together, Unity World Headquarters and Unity Worldwide coming back together, which is a big deal for all of us. And yes, it is a big deal. And they say that we believe now is the time to create and implement a plan to be more formally partners and function as a unified unity. Absolutely. Then the theme for the week was this idea of holding their unity, holding the arms out wide to accept people from all religions, all races, become more diversified. And that's something we've been talking about because I showed that picture a couple weeks ago. So yes, I think they've been listening to us. But the idea with fathers and where we want to go today is to us to challenge ourselves a little bit and to see what part of that divine masculine might we more embrace in our own lives to move forward, to be even more in the flow. So I want to introduce my esteemed colleague up to the stage. Now, Eric is a dad, but more than that, I got to tell you, this is the man who said he would never step foot in a church again when he was younger. And I know there's maybe something you want to talk to us a little bit today about, a piece that was felt missing in your life growing up, maybe in your relationship with your dad. And before you start talking to us about that too, I want to find out, what words do you think of when you think of dad? Like, what does father mean to you? Just name a word.
Strong.
Strong? Okay. Love. Perfect. You're ahead of the game.
Steadfast.
Brilliant. That's right. Disciplined. What about provider? Yeah, provider, that's what you say. Supporter. Superman? What about Superman?
Challenge.
A challenge.
Yeah.
Yes, a challenge. Okay, that's perfect timing to hand it over to you. That's right, because there are some of these words that we think of, because, and often, our relationship with God is related to what, how we felt our relationship to our father in life. Does that make sense? Our father was a little bit of an archetype of the way we imagined God. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest things. This idea of father as God, I think, was something that when I was around 18 or so was really like a freight train, was really driving my life, because I was on a pursuit to know myself and to know this world and to figure out, I'm sure like all of you, headed off to college and I've got the whole world figured out, but I don't know what the heck I'm really doing, and maybe I've got my to-do lists because I'm one of the top students and I'm checking them off, but often there's something missing. And when I was at that time when I said I would never go back to a church, I felt, and I spoke to this a couple weeks ago, that I felt deceived. I felt like they had taken this idea of Jesus, whoever they might have been in my story at the time, but they had taken that story of Jesus and they had kind of used it for some other purpose than what the message seemed to be for me anyway. And I was really full of resentment and hatred for a lot of things in the world. And it was at that time that I was also battling with these struggles with father. And it's funny how all this stuff, you know, when we're digging around in the muck of our life and our belief system, all kinds of wonderful things start to reveal themselves. Yeah, I hear some chuckles because you've sorted through the mud like I have, I imagine. And as the Buddha's beautiful symbol of the lotus and how it always rises out of that mud and that darkness, I didn't realize it because I thought that there was some missing piece in my life. I thought, I have to figure this out. I've got this struggle I have to go up against. And in figuring myself out, I knew that I had to, at some point, get real with my relationships because they were representative of what my beliefs were. And in that, I found this long-time judgment because I felt a little unloved. I felt like my stern, serious grandfather and father didn't really care about me. They were kind of doing their job as father figures, and somewhere behind their stoic exterior, I wasn't feeling any heart. I wasn't feeling cared for, and I built up a big story around that of how other people were more important than I was and how I wasn't good enough and how maybe they've got some really big enlightenment to get because now I've got it all figured out now that I'm 18. And now let me tell you, Grandpa, let me tell you, Dad, where you can stick it and what the brilliant, enlightened scenario is that you need to change in your life and how you need to get your act together.
were you telling him about how to get religion?
Oh, yeah, religion. Definitely. Because, see, I was smarter than everybody else that just stuck with the Bible, you know. I was doing sweat lodges with Native American tribes, and I was exploring all kinds of religions and transcendental meditation and all this stuff. And
how did you get from that to that?
Oh, my goodness. Can you find me? Where's Waldo in the picture?
He made us dress like that, and then he can barely see you back behind Raggedy Ann there.
Yeah.
So how did that happen?
So in bridging the gap, what I realized at about 18 or 19 was that the idea that I had about my father was the same idea that my newly born son was forming about me. Because that was my story. And what I didn't know was that when I moved away and I decided to go be a big boy and get on my own, I didn't know it at the time, but I left behind my high school sweetheart, who was going her own way too, to find out that she was pregnant. And that my son would be born without his father. And so in turn, he would have the same story that I did. Wouldn't that be great? The father that wasn't there. And it didn't matter how much I loved him or how much I wanted it to be different. It was what it was. I had re-manifest that. And this will tie in just a minute, because what you can't see there is my 3-foot clown shoes and my tux with tails that went about to them, because I was the ringleader of the circus. And that's how I was feeling at the time, when all of a sudden these pieces started to come into my awareness and how they were really connected. I was at the middle of what seemed to be some missing pieces, seemed to be some fragmented ideas and lives, and it was in looking at that and knowing that I had to, without a doubt, forgive my father. I had to put that piece of the puzzle in there, because I knew that that's what was missing from that story, was my forgiveness. And so I got to sit down with him and say, hey, what was that like for you? What was it like for you to get shipped off towards Vietnam and face those things? What was it like to have 4 boys and to come back and to go through all the layoffs and factory closings and to feel worthless and drunk and all these things that you were dealing with in your life? What was that like? And we got to cry together, and I got to see a man that I could respect. I got to see a man that actually did stand up and fought hard for his family. And then I could see that in my grandfather. And I could start to see how things had been handed down and how stories, sometimes they're just stories. And there's lots of them about every scenario. And our mentor, Sky St. John, he helped me get to this day, which was my first day on the job at Unity of Diamond Head. If you can believe that.
Day one.
Started it off with a full campus circus. Games and music and booths and happiness. And there was so much vibrancy in that community again, because the missing piece was joy and love. And the community sharing and just listening to each other and playing together and being together again. And it was in that, not only was I able to step back, but I was able to step back into a place that was beyond that story about Jesus, too. Because what Sky reminded me of was that the same truth that I knew as a boy, that same truth that Jesus tried to speak, it was always there, regardless of what story anybody else made out of it. Whatever a denomination would proclaim as their view on it, again, just like my story, there was lots of them, and there's lots of ways to look at it. And so I could step back in wholeheartedly and to move forward in a way that was full of forgiveness and joy. And, well, you might not have known it back when James was the Spartan, if you guys caught that.
Spartacus.
Yes, Mr. Spartacus over here. He didn't know it when he was hobbling around the grass with like 7 kids and RG tours that he had helped form chasing him around and all of us playing him. neither one of us could see that there was going to be this puzzle piece come together here in Dallas. And that not only would I mean, because I was really, as you can see even from the picture, I was kind of trying to hide. I was that guy that sat in the back and would just slip in for the message and then run back out after the message was over because I didn't want any of you crazy people to be hugging me or knowing my personal business.
Any of that silliness.
None of that.
Little did you know, we would be up here speaking together someday.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So, again, I think what I realized was that I was the only piece of the puzzle that was missing. And I just had to step back into his life and into the life that really was mine to live.
You were the missing piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wondered about that with you, James, because a lot of you have heard pieces and parts of James's story and that you were adopted.
Yeah, the missing piece for me was communication. Because it was hard because I couldn't understand. My birth father moved to all places Dallas. Never told you that before, but moved to Dallas and left my birth mother in Memphis. And then at 3 years old, I was adopted. And my adopted father holds a lot of the qualities that you mentioned, especially strength. He had humor. Had unity, but what he did not have, what did not come natural for him was communication, to be able to communicate how he was feeling. And he even said that once to the family. And he prayed about it, he had a close relationship with God, but to be able to communicate how he felt to a son was very difficult for him. And why might that be? Because his father did not communicate with him. His father was an alcoholic and rarely even there. So he also had that missing relationship or that missing piece. And that's why, I remember looking like that a lot as a kid growing up, going, what is going on? And how can I communicate? My stomach used to get in knots trying to figure out how I could communicate with my parents and express myself. So that was difficult. So I really appreciate what Eric said about being able to ask your father, how did you say it? What was it like for you?
Yeah.
What was it like for you? What a fascinating question. No matter where we are coming from, whatever area of love or hurt that we might be coming from. I know one guy in this audience wrote a book about it. Marcus, finally, you made it back from shooting a movie. Haven't seen you in a while. And I'm featuring his book today. He's going to sign today at the Book Nook, sign his book. But it really is about, it's an inspirational story to me about how you overcame being so hurt with your relationship with your father. Last week I also mentioned the number one area statistic of suicide is middle-aged men between 45 and 65. And at that, close to that age, Marcus's father tried to do that. But imagine being an how old were you at the time when you went to the hospital to see him?
35.
You were 35? Okay. So, still a boy, 35, right? I thought you were younger. I gotta go back and read that part of the book again. But really, 35 and coming around the corner and seeing him there in the hospital, right? You were 35 when that happened, yeah, not knowing what had happened. So that still wanting his father to be Superman. And I think that, I mentioned earlier that we said that we try to be in divine flow. We try to look at our fathers or we try to look at our own life as a man and try to power our way through things and have the power as opposed to realizing that if we can just let the flow happen and just honor that spirit aspect of ourselves to do the heavy lifting, that we don't have to do the 300-pound bench press lifting. Or in Zechariah's case, do the coming back to Jerusalem and put the city back together. He told everyone it was going to be okay, that the city would get rebuilt and it would be fine, but people were very upset at their man authority figures and their leaders at that time, very upset with God as well. So it's about getting into the flow state, and this is a book by Dr. Laura Berman. I'm really getting into it. It's a book called Quantum Love. And she goes into whether it be love with ourselves, love in romantic situation, love with other people, but about getting into the flow, and she calls the flow a state of coherence, where your heart and mind are working together in perfect harmony, what I call the distance of 18 inches. She says, there is no turmoil within you, just flow, as your systems come into optimal alignment. When you are in coherence, your systems are aligned and vibrating at a high frequency. So when you're vibrating at a high frequency and you're in flow, then you are not dim. Your light is not dim. And by when I say you, I mean me. All of us. When I pray for someone else, I go to an altered state, an altered higher state of consciousness to pray for someone. That is when I'm in flow. That's why we have the Friday night ministry. Because Eric gets us into flow, and it is an alternative experience, a higher expansion of our consciousness that we go into. I want to read this, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. You just stirred a really big reminder about that time in my life when I was really dealing with this stuff with my dad. It was a scripture that just came out of kind of what you just said, and what I read in this quote by Laura Berman. Is that when thine eye be single, the whole body be filled with light. And it was during meditation on that at one point that, because I was learning all these new metaphysical things, and I could create all kinds of stuff with my body and in my environment and healing all this stuff. And every time I would see my father, it was triggering me. And I couldn't understand it because I had so much peace and I had so much, like I was this spiritual master or whatever I thought I was at 19, you know. But every time I would see his face or think of him, it would just, there'd be this burning thing. And that was the thing. I couldn't put my finger on what it was, the missing piece was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it was through that. It was like, oh, what's not in the light? And it was that.
Yeah, it's perfect. Thank you. You are the light. Yeah. And Lesson 164 is, in A Course in Miracles, there's an explanation of being in the flow. It says, there is a silence into which the world cannot intrude. There is an ancient peace you carry in your heart and have not lost. There is a sense of holiness in you. The thought of sin has never touched. All this today you will remember. Faithfulness in practicing today will bring rewards so great and so completely different from all things that you have sought before. So what thoughts in hell produce after kind? So what have we been thinking? What have we sought before? And what have our feelings been before? What have our beliefs been before? We sometimes have to surrender those at the altar and let go of them. That's why I showed the picture. For those of you that were here last week, I'm sure to make another appearance of the cats on the back of the couch, clasping on to those beliefs and having trouble just letting go. Yeah, spider cats, that's right. Having trouble just letting go. But we have to learn to let go. We have to learn to let go of the beliefs, even about religion or about our fathers or about anything, really. Even if things are going great, if you feel like you're in flow, still being able to surrender that. You could be even in more flow. And I'm going to teach you how to do it right now. We're going to do it. Thanks for the physical affirmation or meditation earlier, because we're going to do another one. So last week I showed you the cats were doing this on the back of the couch, just like that. So what we're going to do today is you're going to think of something. Maybe it's a thought about your father or someone in your family that you may need to forgive, or maybe you need to forgive yourself. But you're going to let go of it, and I'm going to show you how to do it, because doing it in the physical form helps sometimes. You're going to hold your hands up, and you're going to release it. Then you're going to rub your hands together, get some chi going, some energy moving, and then you're going to take a deep breath and just surrender it at the altar and breathe. Okay? So now we're going to do it for real. All right? Hanging on, whatever you're hanging on to. And by the way, This works really good if you get mad at the lady at aisle 10 at Piggly Wiggly. Or somebody's taking too long in the bank line, or if there's traffic up there, you can just get like that. And then you can look at them and go, oh, release it. I'm moving the energy, that divine flow within me. Ah, and that idea that I had, I'm going to release it and surrender it. Did you think of anything you could release just then? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that's where the fruits come from. People want to know, how do I, you know, I want my Father, or I want God to give me the power, or, you know, outside of me to give me my goods and my fruit. Because as it says in Psalms, by the fruit they will know them. So, and my God will supply all your needs. So that's that Christ nature within us that we obtain by awakening, by becoming more awake. Awake to the truth. Awake to your truth. That's what my Father wanted me to do, was just wake up. He was strict. He was hard. But in retrospect, when I look at it, He just wanted me to wake up. And now I try to be awake all the time. I'm awake when I'm asleep. I'm awake before I sleep, after I sleep. And that's what we want to be able to do. Find flow. Now this is the last puzzle, second to the last puzzle I want to show you today. How would it be if all the kids out there, what are they learning right now with media? I mean, what are they, you know, are they talking about open communication? Are they getting in coherence by drumming and meditating through prayer? Or is it the media? Or what kind of instruction are they getting from their parents? So I want Lee Files to come up. Are you here, Lee? Did she come up yet? Okay, well, Lee was going to talk a little bit about some things we have going on in Children's Church, and I'll stall a minute to see if she's going to come down. She spoke at the first sermon. But also, we have something we've never done before. We are a venue for a children's camp. And as far as I know, we've never done it. Maybe we have years ago. But we're having a children's camp where we get to learn what our superpower is, which is what? Love is the missing piece. If kids think that they have a missing piece in their life, we need to teach them to go like this, to embrace themselves and to love themselves. I'll get more into this next week. But I want to introduce Mark. Just raise your hand there, or you can stand up if you want and turn around. Yeah. It's Mark. Mark Myers, who's been working ever since I've got here to put together this camp, and he's done it for many years in the past, but really about helping our children get into the flow. And speaking of our children, this is not stock photos. These are our kids here at Unity of Dallas. And Lee said I was in there somewhere. I don't really see me. But this is the puzzle. This is the puzzle. I see Lynn Dowler. There's the puzzle we need to be thinking about. And also, the last puzzle I want to show you is this one. In a bit of synchronicity, I came in to my desk this morning after being gone all week, and lo and behold, this is on my desk. And it's a puzzle. You probably can't see from the back, but I've never seen one like this before, and it's a heart. And I don't know if it's by accident or by surprise. There they come. Come on up. I like your enthusiasm, young man. But this piece was missing. This piece fell off, the missing piece, so I get to put it back on. But this is quite a piece of work, a piece of art, and it says, and thank you, Ann Sadowski, for that. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, you know, her husband had a birthday this weekend, and so give him extra hugs, because Randy also helped us. Did you see the colors when you came in? Just in time for Father's Day. The flowers around the sign and the entrance. Pay attention to those when you leave today. Just in time for Father's Day. So these guys got this, so it's an original. And it says, life is like a puzzle. We spend our youth moving pieces around, trying to make them fit. Sometimes we were so determined that we had found the right piece that we pushed and shoved and we struggled. We struggled to force a round piece into a square hole. And it has a whole, some other paragraphs here, but I like this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart to get that flow and to have that power. So I'm going to have our little Power Ranger come over here. Hey, Billy. Hey, what's going on? You like my puzzle? You want to hold it? Check it out.